Started day of the Torahway in Northwest London, Tuesday, 9th November, 5th of Kislev, Rabbi Shlomi Weiss, bringing the Beis HaChaim to life. This week's Torah is sponsored by family Dunner, the third Simson Asun of Avrom Strom and Rivki Dunner.
I can assure you there's nothing spooky about the share today. I think it's one of the tactics people employ to generate interest in the share, so they give it an interesting title. The joke to someone, I said, it's a good thing this share is this week and not the previous week, because we want chukas hagoy to do with graves and things. It's nice to be back and to speak at Teraway. It's always nice to be asked back, and it's nice to be given an opportunity to speak about something other than kashrus. This is based on a question that was posed to me about 8 years ago. I'm not a posek. I don't claim to be a posek. And the person wasn't asking me for a psak. They were, as I'll read out, they were asking me for some marmakomus in preparation to go to a Beis Din and or discuss the shul. So this question came to me from my uncle, Oliver Shalom, Yaakov Wise, who lived in Manchester, and he says the following. He says, there's a small Victorian Beis Olam in the centre of a council housing estate in Manchester. It was used for pauper and infant burials from 1843 to 1851. There are no gravestones or other markers. The water company wants to lay down a track on the western side to access main sewers north of the perimeter to do a central repair work. They can't come in from the north without closing part of a major road through Manchester and disrupting traffic flows for thousands of motorists. Now the questions are, number one, is this permitted? Number two, if not, would it be permitted along the western edge where they're probably no actual kavod. Number three, would raising the track 4 amos above the ground help in any way? And number four, can you think of any other solution? And he ends off with, this is fairly urgent, so a quick reply would be appreciated. Please give sources that can be used in a meeting with the Beis Din and the Shul burial port. Best wishes, Uncle Yaakov. Okay, so this is the email I got some years ago. So essentially, there are two questions here. At the time, my initial reaction was to go straight to the siman which talks about Bate Chloris. But really, the first question here is that it's not clear 100% where there are kvorum and where there are no kvorum. 100% true. I doubt they're going to bring a ground-penetrating radar to find out just for this temporary track. My uncle didn't explain clearly what the track was. I assumed, with it being sewage and it being a water company, I assumed that it was some sort of temporary piping or something for to pass water through. As we'll see, that wasn't the case, although it doesn't make too much of a difference. But there are certain points which do make a nafkamina lahalacha, and therefore, as I'll say in the end, I responded and then I got a little bit more information. Okay, so the first part is that there may be a big difference between going above actual graves versus other parts of the Beis Olam where there are no actual graves. Now, each element of these halachas are very much debated in the Rishonim and Achronim. There isn't really a consensus. There's very different attitudes. Some are quite mekel, some are quite machmir, and of course, there's minhag ha'olam. There are lots of tshuvas written about this, and each tshuva is slightly different, and obviously the difference in metzias, meaning what the actual case is, changes the halacha as well. So the fact that the Beis Olam itself is very old and not in use isn't really a heter. I'm going to quote a tshuva of the Shivas Tzion. There's also a tshuva of the Chasim Sofer, which actually I didn't look at in preparation, but there was a tshuva of the Chasim Sofer where a fellow had bought a house, and it turned out that he found a grave sort of under the house, in the basement or something. And there's a discussion about whether one can assume, if in a very old grave, whether the bones have deteriorated. So the Shuvah Tzion, was the son of the Noda Yehuda. His name was Shmuel Landau, and he writes in, he has two long tshuvas. One of them is a major tshuva, which is brought by the Piskei Tshuva. But the second tshuva, he discusses this point about bones, and he says that we find bones survive for hundreds and hundreds of years, and you cannot assume that there's no bones. And then the question becomes what the severity, the different aspects about when there's people who have been buried and their bones left. So, as I say, that wouldn't be ahead to the fact that it's no longer in use or that it's old. The Mechselozah actually went so far as to allow selling a Sefer Torah to raise funds to protect an old Beis HaKoros. So that's not ahead. So there are two parts. There's the graves themselves, the actual kvarim, and then there's the graveyard as a whole. So starting off with the kvarim. The kvarim themselves are Asur Bahano. And that's learnt in the Gemara Sanhedrin, and that's learnt from, there's two Makoros really, it's Egla Rufa, it's Gzera Shavu with Egla Rufa, and there's also, it's Machlok Sabayin Rova there, but there's a discussion about it being compared to Avodah Zarah. Like Nafkamina, the difference might be whether there's a heta, if something is Karka Olam, or Mechobah LaKarka, we say that you can't make a piece of land also, because of Avodah Zarah. Even if you were to bow down to a mountain, the mountain doesn't become Asa. There are three types of keva. In the keva in the Gemara, they used to have, in days gone by, and if you go to Eretz Yisrael, there are areas where you can still see this, something called a kuch. So they used to have type of keva where you, in essence, are digging into the side of a wall, and the it's only that part which is dug out. And very often, actually, the bodies would later be moved as well to be buried elsewhere. But the point is that the land above it is never moved. It's not, so that is remains karka only. Then there's a second case where, like our kavorim, where you dig into the ground and then you refill it. And then thirdly, there's something called kevesh of binyan, which is like a mausoleum, where in essence you're not actually burying in the ground. It could also be possibly an above ground type of burial, where similar to a kuch, where you there are people who bury horizontally, and you have these big rows of not really kvarim, but where people are buried. So on this first point, there's already a machlokus. The simple reading would be just to look in the Torah, just for sake of speed, the Torah brings down machlokus between Rabbi Shaya and his understanding of his father, the Rosh, and others, that when we refill a grave, you dig up and you refill, his understanding in the Gemara is that this is still considered Karka Olam, according to the Torah and the Rosh. The Rabbi Shaya learns, no, that's not called Karka Olam, meaning that the earth above where you've dug out and refilled, that is now Asa Bahana, and therefore the Nafkimina obviously would be walking above the grave. There is actually, I think it's the Piskei Tshuva brings the Rukiv Eger. Rukiv Eger is hesitant about this, but he suggests that there may be a difference, that the initial earth you fill on top of the body might be Asa, whereas further earth that's above that, which is really just to make sure the ground is flat, that might be Mutar Bahana. So there is a discussion in the Beis Yosef, brings Rabbi Nuruchim and the Bach. I'm not going to go into all that. The general gist, I think it's fair to say, from the Rishonim, generally seems to come out that the Ikar Halacha is that this would not be called Asur Bahana, this ground. There's a Rashbam that everyone brings, the Taz brings, that everyone brings, that Rashbam Bal Basra, which talks about being able to walk over graves. If you're going to walk to another grave and you're not really, it's very quick, you're just quickly darting across, and the Rashbam it seems to imply it's allowed. There's a tshuva of the Yad Eliyahu, which was brought down. It's from Rav Eliyahu from Lublin, and he wants to say that the difference is, even if you assume that the kavorim in the earth is asa b'hana, but you yourself are not really getting hana, but when you're walking over these graves, if you're doing it quickly, you'd be very happy if the ground was level and there was no grave there. You're not really having a direct hana. He wants to suggest that maybe that you're not, it's not called having a hana. It's a separate question, which is that this may not be kavod hames, to walk about over someone's grave, and this will get to also to do with the rest of the Beis HaKadosh as well. There's stam zilzul to start walking on people's graves or to make use of a grave, etc. Even if you say there's no issa hana, so it's not a deraisa, issa deraisa, but obviously it may be a zilzul. And on that, then there may be heterim, the tzerich mitzvah, etc. There's a very well-known Gemara in Brachas, medalgin halinu al aronos, likras melochim, I don't remember the exact expression, I think it's Dafi Tess, where people used to, it says that they would jump over or go over the coffins of dead in order to go and see the king. It's a whole shayla, it's a Jewish king or not. But the idea is that since it's the covered hames, it's the derabbanon, there's possible room to be makel. Generally speaking, obviously, we're quite machmir about this. In other words, even though the weight of halacha seems to be me'ikar adin, that you can be makel about this, but the Shach and the Taz bring down from the Marshal, Makos Tosheri, and others that we're quite machmir, even regarding the matzevas, not to have any hanar from them, not to resell them. And this obviously leads to a whole bunch of other tshuvas. There's a lot to be said. But generally speaking about the Beis Olam as a whole, right? So even without looking into the specifics, let's assume for a second that there's no Issa Hana. But even if there's no Issa Hana, there's a Gemara Megillah. Gemara Megillah Choftes. Amud Aleph says that Tana Rabbanon, Beis HaKavaras Einogim Bohem Kalos Rosh, we don't act in a light-headed manner. Well, some understand this as being, we don't use it for our own purposes. So it could even be something, a serious thing, like one example is making cheshbonus, doing accounting or something. Again, something which is not appropriate for the place. Eimar Bohem Behema, so we don't graze animals. Ve'emolichim Bohem Amasamayim, you don't lay a water path through, piping or anything like that. Im laktim ben masovim, and you don't gather herbs or plants from there. Vim likate so from them koma, mipnei covered mason. If you do gather them, then there's a din, you have to burn them, and it's all because of covered mason. So I won't go through all the rest of the Gemara, but Rashi understands that Kavod HaMesim doesn't go on, the Gemara asks, it doesn't go, can't go on Likat HaSavim, right? You can pick herbs, because if you assume that you have to burn it, that can't be Kavod HaMes, that seems to be some sort of Knas, some sort of Issa, more than just Kavod, Likat Chila, certainly. So Rashi understands that the Ein Noegim Bohem Kalos Rosh is what they refer to. The Gemara says it refers to the Reisha. Rashi understands that means you don't behave in an appropriate manner, generally speaking, and that's because of kavod hames. Whereas the other points, for example, grazing animals and using it to put water through, etc., all these types of other things, those might be because of issa. It might not be because of maris ayin, maybe because of kanas, maybe for other reasons, but not kavod hames. Tosus on the same Amud there argues and understands that everything is because of kavod hames, and the one exception is this likat hasavim, and that's to do with, it would seem from the Modche, it would seem to do with maris ayin, and the Nafka Mina Tosfos says is if you have trees which are not growing on the graves themselves, they're just growing there in the Beis HaKvaros, then there, since there's no Maris Ayin, or there's no issue there, there's not a Zilzal, it would seem, so you can pick the fruit from the trees as long as the trees are not on the Beis HaKvaros. On this, there's a machlokus between the Bigdei Yesha, the Batim Mordechai, and the Avnei Nezer, about whether was the tree there before the Beis Olam, or was it there only after the Beis Olam. But the Avnei Nezer makes no difference, says no difference. The point is, this is not Zilzal, this is not... there's not a shtamshus, it's not, there's no marasayin, etc. Whereas the Bigdei Yesha understands, no, it's because it's not the way Jewish, at least by Yidden, we don't plant trees in the Beis HaKvaros. And therefore, it must be that the trees were there before you made this into a Beis HaKvaros. Okay. As I say, there's a lot to say. I'm trying to try and be wary of the time. One of the classic Makoros is a tshuva of the Trumas HaDeshen. Trumas HaDeshen lived late 1300s, early 1400s, and he has a case which the Rama brings down. There's also a case which another case that the Rama brings down, which I'll bring later. This Trumas HaDeshen is a little bit, although it's paskened by the Rama, is argued upon, and it's one of the main sources. So there was a story there where the Moshel, whoever he was, had a servant, and the servant was bringing in his horses to the Beis Olam, and in the Beis Achaim, he didn't really care too much about the fact that there were graves there, and the question was, did the Tzibur have to do, what did they have to do in order to protest this? The worry was that this would get back to the life, and obviously in those days, Jewish life in Germany and Austria was, very tenuous. It was something that wasn't safe, and you wanted to stay on the good side of the authorities as much as possible. And the question was, did they have to spend a lot of money on getting removing this michshol? So the Trumas HaDeshen brings the Gemara in Megillah, then he brings the Mordechai, and he points out the following. The Mordechai has a question that the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about something interesting. It's not clear what the use was, but the from the Kaver of Rav, they used to take offer. For they would take it somehow, maybe it was a segula or something, and this would be some sort of healing to heal a chola on the first day, where they consider it to be a sakana, or certainly even I shouldn't say sakana, but certainly it would be effective on the first day, it would seem. So the question is, how is that allowed? And they went to Shmuel and asked, is this allowed? And he said, yeah, the Sofim Bukhanon, and the Mordechai explains that why is this allowed? Because the Sofim Bukhanon is not Kavod HaMeis, it's to do with Knas. And you shouldn't think you're taking these herbs or plants that you've picked from the Beis HaKvaros to feed your animal. So it's a Chashash and it's a Knas, but really it's only that where we have a Knas, whereas to take earth would be allowed. Now, the Trumas HaDeshen understands this to say that the Tzorech Refuah overrides Kavod HaMeis. Right? That Kavod HaMeis is Darabanon, and yes, okay, of course, we would want to always be Mechanon this, but it would seem from the Gemara that Refuah it overrides that. And therefore... So it doesn't say in the Gemara that it was a Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana, actually. It would seem that even if it's not Sheyesh Bo Sakana, it doesn't seem to say that it's that. It could be that the Taich, I don't know, I'd have to check it up in more detail. It could be that this Ishosa Bas Yoma was considered something that would lead to Sakana, I'm not sure. But he wants to go as far as to say that even, he then applies this, saying even not just Refuah. So Hefsed Momon, if you'd have to pay out a small fortune to protect the Beis HaKvaros from being grazed upon by this fellow's horses, you wouldn't have to do that. The Shivas Tzion takes issue with the Shumas HaDeshen quite strongly, and he says, I don't understand. He says, the whole point is that, the way he understands this is that because it's Tzorech Refuah, in fact, the Mordechai uses this, the Truma Sefer uses this notion a bit. He says that it's a sort of a Shevach, it's kind of a, it's not a Zilzul, because you're saying this earth from this Keve is somehow helping the Chole. So in a way, he's saying that this earth is better than other earth, right? You didn't go randomly to get any earth, you went to this place. He wants to say that's not called a real Zilzul in Kavod HaMeis. And therefore, but who told you that Stam Refuah would be allowed? Meaning that this has a, this is the only way you can have this Refuah. It seems that this is some sort of Segula Refuah. I don't know how it works, but this, it's Mukrak, it has to be from this place. Earth from other places doesn't work. So it's the Kep from the Kever. Let's say, okay. So since this is the only method of Refuah, it's allowed. But not Pshat that now any Tzorech Refuah, let's say if it's not from the Keveh, if it's elsewhere in the Beis HaKvaros, that you can just, you know, if you could get this herb or some plant from elsewhere, who says you've got a heter, even Mishum Refuah? Maybe you have to go elsewhere, go to the field and go and get it. Why? Let's say there would be some sort of nettles growing there. You can get nettles from, you can make nettle soup or something. You can go and get nettles from elsewhere. Who told you have to get it from the Beis HaKvaros? And who says it's a heter because of Refuah? And then he says, and then of course, when it comes to money, who told you then, therefore, that because of Hefzid, that you are able to be Mekel? And he says that it could be that you do have to spend a lot of money. The case there happens to be, it wasn't talking about exactly the same case as the Truma Sedeshin. Truma Sedeshin's case is that this fellow's animals are going to graze there. So it could be it's a temporary thing. His case was that the leader of the town, the duke or whatever, was going to make some sort of road, public highway through the Beis HaKvaros, which is with stones and paving, and therefore he felt that that was more of a permanent thing, and therefore that would be more of an issue. Nafka Mina becomes how we understand Beis HaKvaros in general. So, as I'm running out of time, just to summarize, the truth is that there's two very different approaches to Beis HaKvaros as a whole, and how far we take this. Shil Tech Giborim understands the Rambam, and this is also the opinion of the Chasam Sofer, and Dayan Weiss in Minchas Yitzchok Chelik Tes Kuf Chof Aleph also brings this down, that Minchas Yitzchok was talking about, it seems, excavations on Har HaBayis, but he understands that the Beis HaKvaros is, once it's sort of hukdash, or it's set aside, Hukta for the Tzibur as a burial ground, so the whole area becomes awesome. And it's a bit like a shul. He says it's like a shul where you don't say only the areas where I'm standing and I'm davening, or I'm sitting davening, that's kodesh, whereas the aisles, no one davens in the, hopefully no one davens in the aisles, so there, those parts are kodesh. He says the whole shul gets one din, and that's what the way it is. However, the Marasham, famously, and some others disagree. Hashem Zechelik Aleph is Samach Beis. He was asked about a Beis Olam where a large section hadn't been used yet, and there were about four kavorim of people who were given a din of Ma'abedat Zmoladat, so people who had committed suicide. And even though technically they possibly weren't Alpi Din Ma'abedat Zmoladat, Ma'abedat Zmoladat, a person who committed suicide, has to be with Adim, and it has to be that you saw him going up, and he said he was going to go and do it, and v'chole, so we can be Mekel, but the point was that other than these four, there was a large section of the Beis HaOlam hadn't been used yet, and the local government wanted to buy out that section. They would move those four back further, closer in, and then move the wall over, and then they would give them another area to continue to as another Beis Olam. And the question was if that would be allowed. So the Marasham is much more Mekel because he doesn't understand. He brings the Mogen Avraham actually by Eruvi Tchumin in Simon Tov Tes, right at the beginning, where the Mogen Avraham understands that the case where someone left his Eruv Tchumin in the Beis Olam, so the Shulchan Aruch says it's not allowed. because it's Asa Bahana, and he understands it's Dafka Kevesh Albinyan. It's one of these mausoleums. It can't be that it's the regular base Olam on the ground. Moshe Rabbeinu says if it would be on the ground, it wouldn't be Asa Bahana, and it would be fine woodwork. And as I say, I'm running out of time, so just Bekitzer, the Marsham's much more makel in terms of what he would allow, and he said to move bodies he wouldn't allow. So he says that it's a whole different category of Issa. So he would say, he allowed them to take the section that was empty, and then you could use that. But the section with people, even if they were considered to have committed suicide, he says you have to build a wall around them, and then you can't sell off that part. This is an if later on. It comes cheshbonus where you need to move them. Okay, you'll deal with that later, but for now you can't move them just to sell the karka. Of course, not in every case were Yidden able to placate the government, and even the second shuvah here in Shiva Sion, in Samach Gimel, I think it is. He sort of ends off at the end, and he tries to give them advice. What happens if you can't convince them of money or whatever, and what else you can do? There are other truths which are similar to this. Rav Zilberstein brings down a case in America in Tofresh Ayin Ches, so it's over 100 years ago, of some. Apparently they wanted to dig gas wells in a Beis Olam, and it would seem it wasn't where the Kvarim were, and there was a Sefer Deva Dibor, which I don't think is Reb Zalman Sirotkin's Sefer, I think it's some other Sefer, who ruled that that the rest of the Beis Olam is not a problem. There's no Issa Hana, it's not hooked to for that, and it's only a problem of Kalas Rosh, Kavda Meis, and that this wouldn't be a problem. Second question is to do with Ava. So, what happens in a case, hopefully in Manchester this wouldn't be the case, it might be, but sometimes when you get into arguments with the government, the councils, it can stir up racial or ethnic tensions, and it can cause problems. So, there's a sugya in Avodah Zarah, in Chof Vav, where there's a very big machlokes Rishonim about whether Ava is a heter. Ever. Are you allowed to be over any Yisurim because of this enmity between the Klai Yisrael and the non-Jews where they're living? And many of the Rishonim are mate, but only for Nisid Rabbon, not for Nisid Raisa. There are some Rishonim who say even for Nisid Rabbon there's no Heta. So the Ritva and Rabbeinu Nisim, the Ram, Rabbeinu Nisim, they hold that actually that's not enough of the Heta. In this case, when I went back to my uncle, I asked him, sort of said, I quoted a few more sources, but here it would seem that you're just trying to do the matova. It doesn't seem that there's going to be a backlash necessarily. Let them find another way. In theory, if you want to do it, it would be better to raise this track, which I understood was some sort of piping. It would be better to raise it so at least it's not on the Kvarim themselves. If it has to be done. In the end, he wrote back to me that actually this was some sort of track so that they could move heavy equipment over it and not disturb the Kvarim underneath. And he asked if their offer to improve the Beis Olam would help him any way. Would that be a heter? And obviously this is a Victorian Beis Olam which no one pays much attention to and probably needs the help and needs the funding. So I pointed out that there is a tshuva of Marival, which is brought, Rabbi Yaakov Weil, was brought in the Shulchan Aruch by the Rama, that there was a case where, unfortunately, in Würzburg, where they taken away the Beis HaKvaros, they kicked out the Jews from the entire town, and when they eventually let them back in, they went and sort of tried to buy back the Beis Olam, and he allowed them to use the fruit that were growing even on the Kvarim themselves, if that would help to pay for getting back to the Beis HaKvaros, being able to maintain the Beis HaKvaros. So, especially if we understand that the Kvarim themselves are possibly Issa Torah, but not necessarily above the Kvarim. If that's Issa Torah Bonon, so certainly Kadaihu Marival is a remote paskins like him, to rely on him to that if there is a benefit in the greater picture, there's going to be a benefit to the Kvarim buried there, that would be a heter to maybe allow them to do this. Just to finish off, in the end, it happens to be that they found another way anyway, Baruch Hashem. In a way, it's sad because the Beis Olam didn't come to life. No, I doubt anyone's gone back to visit there. Unfortunately, a lot of these Bate Chaim around England, where Kehillos used to once live, and kind of abandoned now. But as I say, but at least the Shaila was avoided, and there's no Shaila of Issa Hana or Zilzal and Kav Tamis.
Scratch.
I'm there. That's a very well.